Welcome to The Hollywood Outsider, an award-winning weekly entertainment podcast available at thehollywoodoutsider.com, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or your favorite podcast app. I'm Aaron Peterson. I'll be your host for this special episode of The Hollywood Outsider. On occasion, we like to bring you interviews with actors and filmmakers to give you an insight into both what goes into getting their projects made, as well as insight into the respective art itself. For this episode, I am talking to Alan Richson. Alan is an actor, he's a writer, he's a director, who you might know from his roles in Blood Drive, Hunger Games Catching Fire, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, he was Raphael, and a slew of other projects, but most people I know loved him as Thad in Blue Mountain State, or Hawk in Titans. He's played a lot of roles. Well, now Alan gets to reinvent one of my personal favorite characters in the Prime Video series Reacher, which releases on February 4th. That's right! Lee Child's story character Jack Reacher is back. And even though I have nothing but respect for the way Tom Cruise tailored the role kind of to his own stature, now that I have seen the entire first season of Reacher, Alan Richson nailed the character I know from the books, which is important to me.
To me!
You see, Jack Reacher's a man who simply wants to live his life. But after a murder is pinned on him, in case you didn't know what the story was about, things somehow get a little bit more personal. Reacher sets off to use those little details that matter to find those responsible and, if possible, burn it all to the ground. He's a man who never bluffs and never quits. And I can't tell you how ecstatic I am, both as a critic and as a fan, that Alan Richson is the perfect guy to handle the role. Not only that, he's a genuinely good guy. And if you know Hollywood at all, you know what a compliment that can be.
I know.
In this interview, we discuss Alan's take on the role, what Reacher means to fans, how genuine those insane fight scenes are, which Reacher book you would love to see made for a future season, and a lot more. And I will catch you after the interview for my spoiler-free review of Reacher Season 1. Once again, it begins streaming on February 4th on Prime Video. And of course, please subscribe to The Hollywood Outsider in your podcast app of choice, whatever your favorite one is. You can also find reviews and more at thehollywoodoutsider.com. But without further ado, I'm going to get into my interview with the star of Reacher. And remember to come back after because we're going to review Season 1, spoiler-free. I don't do spoilers here. Here's my interview with Alan Richson. How's it going, Alan?
Couldn't be better, man. I'm happy to be talking to you.
I'm excited to be talking to you. My whole family apparently is rooting for you, and I didn't even know it. My son's yelling. Oh, nice. Yeah, my son's yelling, Hawk, and my son-in-law's yelling, Thad, and I don't know what's going on, but everybody's excited. Yeah.
Better that you don't go back and watch some of that, but I'm glad everybody's coming together with Reacher.
I did go back and check some of it out. Thad is an interesting character. For sure. Yeah,
that's one word for it. He's lucky to be alive. That's for sure.
Well, I always start every interview out the exact same way, which is, when did you know you wanted to get involved in filmmaking? Was there a moment in your life? When did you know?
Yeah, great question. You know, look, I'm an opportunist. I grew up with very little. You know, my father was in the military. My mom started in the military. You know, we didn't have a lot. So you learn to kind of adapt to whatever environment you're in and do the best you can. And, you know, I had an opportunity to go out for some auditions, not knowing anything about the business or what to do. And within about 3 weeks of being in LA, I was on a show. It was just, I was, you know, fortunate turn of events. I've had a very lucky take on acting. So I was an opportunist that realized like there may be something here for me. And, you know, it's sort of in doing it, I realized I actually love this and I think I'm in the right place.
Well, good. I'm going to get this out of the way because I'm a huge Lee Child fan of, and I'm a fan of the Jack Reacher.
Yeah, you and me both.
Yeah. I mean, I enjoyed the movies, but I think anyone who's read the books knows that the stature was a bit different from the book from where the movies are. And you have both mannerisms, and now that I've seen it, I mean, I went in just intending to watch the first couple episodes, and I ended up watching the whole season. I think you nailed the role.
Oh, so wow. I'm just thank you so much.
Giving you the compliment and getting it out of the way so you don't have to
thank
wonder.
You.
So what about the character initially attracted you as an actor? I mean, as outside of an actor wanting a job, obviously.
Yeah, good question. I mean, you know, beside the fact that I also am a Lee Child fan, I mean, I read not just all the books, but all the you know, short stories and novellas that he wrote as well around this character. I mean, there's nothing of his that I haven't read. I am a fan of his mind. Now that I've met him, I mean, I'm an even bigger fan. He's incredibly gracious and humble and makes himself available. He's really, truly, he's an incredible guy. But, you know, the intellect that he has you know, he sort of lives vicariously through Reacher in a way, but we're the beneficiary of his intelligence. I love that aspect of this. I mean, Reacher is a smart guy, but when you pay attention and sort of read between the lines, there are like laugh out loud moments in this. I think Reacher is a funny guy, unexpectedly funny. I expected this one-hander, this action guy, you know, action star that's a little like the guys that we grew up with in the 80s and 90s, you know, but I think he's unique in that way, where this there's a sense of humor to this. And I really wanted to find that.
Yeah, it's not cheeky at all. You don't play it cheeky at all, which is a compliment, because you could easily go that way. You could lean into it too much.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, there's definitely a fine line. And I think, you know, there's sort of a dry, sardonic sense of humor there. And I think hopefully we found it. But, you know, it's a lot of fun to play that, you know, as opposed to like some of the real physical comedy that I've done in the past. You know, I wanted to stay away from that and honor that kind of stoic nature to, you know, to who he is. But I think you're right. It's a different kind of humor, but it's still there. Yeah.
Were there any attributes to Reacher that came a little bit more naturally to you than you initially thought would be the case, or more difficult? I mean, either way.
Yeah. You know, I mean, I think we're a lot alike, you know, I mean, I think our outlook, our desire for justice in the world, you know, willingness to sort of live by our own rules to some extent. I think we share a lot of those qualities. You know, I think the biggest challenge that I had was emulating a fight style of somebody who's as weaponized as he is. You know, this is a former military police officer who would chase down AWOL soldiers. I mean, you have to have a special set of skills to do that. You have to have a high level of training. And then in the books, there's a surgical precision to the way that he moves in these fights. I played a lot of that stuff in the past, but it's always sort of this brawler kind of style, you know, either MMA or, you know, just ground and pound. And we needed to really walk back and break down my fighting style. Buster Reeves, the stunt coordinator and fight designer for this, did an amazing job, but, you know, had to learn how to move in a way that I haven't before. And it took a few months to get there. So it was not, that was the toughest thing to adapt to.
I'm glad you bring that up, because the fights are absolutely brutal, which is, that's what you want from Jack Reacher. You know, you don't want,
yeah, absolutely. You know,
was that specifically because there's a lot of interactions in the show that I feel, I mean, I've seen a ton of stunt work over the years, and obviously whenever it's very, very close to where I wonder if that was a hit. I mean, it just feels like you guys choreographed it down to the minute detail. And I want to know like how complicated and how much rehearsal goes into that for a show like this.
Right. Yeah. Well, thank you. I think that's a testament, not just to me, but to the stunt guys that we were working with, because they were absolutely savage. And I've worked on some where everybody's more concerned with like, I just don't want to get hurt here. Let me just get in and get out. That was not at all the case for this. These stunt guys were the hardest hitting guys I've worked with. In fact, a good example, there's an iconic prison fight episode, and that, which is in the book as well. And it's brutal. And we really wanted to capture that. And we spent a couple months preparing for that fight. There's this one hit where a stuntman gets his face smashed into a steel sink in this prison. And of course, you know, my training tells me like, I know where to pull back so he doesn't really get hurt and he doesn't really hit the thing. And the guy told me before we got started, he said, smash my face into the sink. And I was like, whoa, like I'm not doing it. If you want to keep going, like that's up to you, but please don't hurt yourself. And he's like, no, we're doing this. He threw his face into the sink every time and looked like an Elephant Man by the end of the day. And most stunt guys aren't willing to do that. There's another guy that took a thumb to the eye, and I thought I was going to poke his the back of his brain. I mean, it's like these guys would push into the things that I was doing, sacrificing themselves for the good of this show. And I think the audience is going to be the beneficiary of that. But yeah, it was savage. Nobody got, you know, severely injured, but these were brutal fights, and there was a lot of contact, and it's what they wanted. And, you know, again, it's that's them, you know, that's to their credit.
Yeah, I don't think enough people know how much goes into just a fight scene that's 3 minutes on screen. I mean, it can take a week, two weeks, you know, something along those lines.
Yeah, absolutely. It can be exhausting, you know, and some of those fights we have to shoot from so many angles so many times that, you know, we're in there for 10 hours and everybody's exhausted. And, you know, when those cameras roll, you got to suck it up from somewhere and go just as hard as you did the first time. And it can be tough on the body and tough on the team. But, you know, again, credit to everybody there. You know, it was 100% every time.
You know, the books are phenomenally successful. and the movies, I think, opened up even more people to the concept of Jack Reacher as a character.
True.
What are the advantages, in your opinion, to telling the story over 8 episodes versus a movie?
The beneficiary of the times. I mean, back when the features were being made, streaming wasn't really thought of the way that it is now. Mm-hmm. We can tell stories now the way that they're meant to be told. I mean, you don't need to spend more time, dragging it out than you need to. But I mean, we can tell the story of one book in 8 episodes, and it's no more or no less time than you need. But you can live in it with these ways in a way that allows you to really create a three-dimensional character, and not just for Reacher, for these supporting roles too. I mean, I think in a lot of ways, Lee Child is a genius, mm-hmm. but Reacher is this incredibly well-rounded character in the books, and on screen, our supporting cast, my co-stars and colleagues, are also as three-dimensional. We can lean into their mm-hmm. stories a little bit more because we have just enough time to do that on screen. So we benefit from telling this story in the medium that we're in now in a way that we didn't have the opportunity to do it, 10, 15 years ago. So I'm glad. I think the audiences will appreciate that.
I'm glad you brought up your supporting cast, because Malcolm Goodwin and Willa Fitzgerald, I think they're fantastic in the roles.
Unbelievable. They are unbelievable.
But how does that feel for you as an actor? Because, each book is going to be a season, which means, you're going to love these guys and you might not see them next season, because they're not relevant to the story. Does that make it more exciting for you? I mean, obviously it's disappointing because you missed the camaraderie, but as an actor, how does that feel? How does that
translate? That's amazing. It's a good question because, I mean, to be fair, a lot of times, when you're on a project, there's one, two people mm-hmm. that you're like, oh man, I'm working with a diva here. Like, we're going to have to do this for 4 or 5 years. We tend to be sort of worst case scenario people. And so your mind goes there and you're like, well, this is great, because it's sort of an anthology in that nature. And if there's a diva, I won't have to deal with them hopefully again. That was absolutely not the case. There was not one person on this show that I wouldn't want to work with every day, that I wouldn't feel lucky to be working with. And the real difficulty here is not so much for me. It's the fact that I don't know how anybody that comes after Willa Fitzgerald and Malcolm Goodwin best the love that the audience is going to have for their characters. They set the bar so impossibly high for anybody that comes after them. I do not envy the actors that we'll be working with in the future. They're really incredible. The chemistry was instantaneous. The fire that they brought to each role was unforgettable. And the connections that were made that the camera benefited from, I mean, just, it was authentic, I'm really heartbroken to think that I may not be working with these guys again for a while.
Well, I need to let you go. I appreciate all your time. I do want to ask, just as a quick thought, season 2 happens. It better happen. It better happen. Is there a particular book that you would keep your whatever you know out of it? Is there a particular book you'd love to see maybe next year?
I think Die Trying is one of my favorite books in the series. Nice. I'd give anything to be able to make that one at some point.
That's great. Well, thanks so much for your time, Alan. I appreciate you taking the time to do this.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Alan. And be sure to catch Reacher once again on February 4th on Prime Video, because I want my season 2. So get it done. Make it happen. We normally would save a review for the normal episode, but since you are already here, and I am assuming you are jacked for Reacher, see what I did there? It feels better to handle it now, I think. So me monologuing really isn't our style. That's a total lie. But I did bring my co-host, The Hollywood Outsider, who's here to lead us on our discussion of Reacher for season 1. Again, spoiler free. There will be no spoilers. Don't get excited. So welcome, Troy.
Hey, buddy. How are you? I was going to say, you do those like, hey, this is just me, Aaron, talking about the Oscars. Like, I'm just going to talk to you for 25, like, monologue? What?
That's usually because nobody else is available or wants to talk about it. So I'm just like, I'll just knock it out this morning. Why not?
We could talk about the Golden Globes if you want.
It would be a very short conversation. I don't want to talk about them this year. We'll see what happens next year. If I don't have drunk celebrities, why talk about it? So I want to talk about the actual show, Jack Reacher. I will say, I mean, people have asked me, because I keep telling people what a fan I am of the show. This is before I ever had the interview. I mean, I've been very excited for the show. Troy knows this. And, they thought it was because of the movies. And it's like, no, I read the books. I didn't dislike the movies either. You know, even though some people really complain that Tom Cruise wasn't the Jack Reacher of the books, I can totally understand where they're coming from with that. But on the same token, he did a really good job of making the character his own. I mean, he's Tom Cruise. He made that character work. I think mannerisms wise, he had the character down. It's just obviously he has a smaller stature. So when he walks in a room, you know, it's not the same impact that Alan Ritchson would have, because Alan Ritchson is a huge guy. I mean, if his arms like are, they got to have their own names at this point. Hobbs and Shaw, whatever.
Tom and Cruise.
He just calls him Tom and Cruise and then kisses him, walks in the room. That would be fantastic. So I like the movies quite a bit. I love the first movie. I actually think it's a great crime thriller. It's just, it was never really my Jack Reacher, Lee Child's Jack Reacher. So now I feel like I were approaching that.
Well, speaking of Lee Child, this show is based on The Killing Floor. The first season of Reacher follows Alan Ritchson as a retired military investigator as he arrives in the small town of Margrave, Georgia, on a whim, only then to be framed for murder before finding himself in the midst of a massive conspiracy that threatens the lives of all in its wake. Dirty cops, shady politicians, corrupt businessmen. No one is walking away from Jack Reacher. Now, this season also stars Malcolm Goodwin as Finlay, Willa Fitzgerald as Roscoe, Chris Webster as KJ, Bruce McGill as Teal. Is that right? And many, many more. It's fun. It's on Amazon Prime. It's coming in February. So, like I said, Aaron, you're a fan of the books. People love the movies. What is going to make this one different for people to check it out?
This is going to be more... Well, not more. I mean, I think if you like the movies, you get the idea of who Jack Reacher is. It just the visual doesn't work as well. You know, like I said, I think Cruise had the mannerisms, where Alan has both, and that's important. So it's very much the Jack Reacher of the books, a guy that walks into a room and people are instantly intimidated, a guy that doesn't put up with any shit, a guy that's not in the mood for your nonsense, doesn't care about politics. He doesn't care about money. He just cares about what's right. That's like his number one priority in life is what's right. Is this right? Cool. We'll let it go. Is this not right? Okay. Then we're going to burn it all down. I mean, that's who Jack Reacher is. And, you know, trouble seems to find him, as they say.
What's this kind of series coming out to be looking like? Is it more comedy? Is it more Million Little Things? Is it more like
Flight Attendant? Million Little Things.
I mean,
No, not at all. It's the show is a kind of a pulpy crime thriller in many ways. And, you know, it's fun. I mean, it's fun in that way where you get to watch a guy doing what, you know, we can't do because there's laws and there's restrictions and whatnot. But you get to see this guy make things right, make the wrong right, make people accountable, you know, hold people accountable. And it's that kind of cathartic. Yes, we need people like that when we know we don't want to break laws or we don't want to do any of this damage or we can't or we don't want to, whatever the case is. But now I can live vicariously through entertainment and watch somebody finally do the ass kicking that needs to be done. So it's that kind of show. It's a really, really fun show. And it's a character that I think is really hard to dislike.
So it's a cross between 24 and Castle.
No, I mean, maybe 24 and Prison Break, kind of. I mean, it's just got that. It really moves at a good clip. It's going toward an end point. All eight episodes are one story. So it ends on the eighth episode. So it has, you know, it has one story. It has a contained story. Obviously, you want more at the end. You know, it leaves you wanting more for sure. But it's contained and it's, you know, you're racing to get there. But it also has that kind of that fun of Prison Break where you're just really just enjoying the ride because you're like, oh, man, I just love to see what's going to happen next. I got to see what's going to happen. Oh, he's going to, oh, and the fights are phenomenal. So, I mean, yeah, it's just a fun show. It's a really, really good, entertaining, fun show.
So I should go into this planning to watch all eight episodes and not just give up after two is what you're saying.
Absolutely. If you watch the first two, I don't see any way you're going to not finish it. I mean, it's fun.
So they throw that one in there. Why is Alan Ritchson? I'm saying they're right. Ritchson.
Is it Ritchson?
Richson. Got it. You want to say Richardson for some reason. Alan Richson, the right guy for this role.
I will be perfectly honest. So when he was first cast, I didn't know him really. I didn't know much of his role. I hadn't seen Titans at that point. I hadn't Blue Mountain State. I hadn't heard of. I mean, I'd heard of it, but I mean, I hadn't watched it. You know, I just knew the character from the books, and I'm like, well, he looks the part. I mean, he looks like a big guy. He's a big, big dude. But you know, I need more than that. And then I did see the first trailer, and I will tell you, like, I didn't think the trailer looked. It made him sound or made him seem too cheeky. Made him seem too jokey. I think in the trailer, like they made it seem like he was just a quip monster, and that's not at all what the character is in the books. I mean, he makes comments and stuff, but they're really hard edge comments. But so I was a little hesitant. And when it comes to him himself, Alan himself, you know, my, like I said in the interview, my son is a really big Titans fan. So he got excited because of Hawk. And you know, I wasn't exaggerating, they're making this up. My son-in-law like got super excited because he loves Thad and Blue Mountain State. But if you go and you finally, you know, I went and obviously watched some of that stuff. So I knew it before I interviewed him. And once you see it, you're like, this is the guy. This is before I'd see, but it also showed his range because Hawk is a completely different character than Thad is. And Thad is an outlandish character. I mean, just way over the top. And so I honestly didn't know what I was going to get when the show started. And then from the first few moments, I mean, they're kind of setting it up and then, you know, I'm starting to get into it. And I think for a little bit, I have the books character in my mind. I have Tom Cruise in my mind. You know, I'm like, in my mind, you have to elevate past Cruise and get to the book Jack Reacher to make me forget about Cruise, kind of in a way. I know that doesn't sound fair, but I was a big fan of the movie, so I mean, it is what it is. Once he gets to the prison in the first episode, all thoughts of Tom Cruise vanished from my head. I didn't think about him once for the rest of the series, and I think that is a testament to how well he played the part, because he does have the size, he does have the intimidation factor down. He can deliver the exposition, because Jack Reacher at times will kind of give long, long tirades of exposition explaining why things happen and why these small town cops should be paying more attention to this kind of stuff. And those can go either way. I mean, they can fall apart or it can go great. I think he really nails that. And then he just has everything about it. He just has the Jack Reacher feel, where this is a guy who's going to walk in a room and there's a chance he could beat the shit out of everybody before he walks out. And he also doesn't care about your problems. Like if you don't like something, you don't like the way he handled something, he doesn't care. He's still going to do it his way because he wants to get it done. He's a doer. And I think Alan Richson just nails the part. And talking to him, he is nothing like this guy at all. So it's a great performance.
Now, as a fan of the books, then could you be objective and judge the television version on its own merits? Or were you always comparing it back to the written word?
Oh, that's a good question. I think I was probably harsher than a normal everyday I want to watch something on TV fan. You know, I love the books, even though I love the first movie and I like the second movie. You know, I never thought Tom Cruise was Jack Reacher that I know. So I'm like, well, here we go again. You know, are they going to get this right this time? So I was very, very skeptical. I so want this character to work because I'm not exaggerating. Like, next to Sherlock Holmes, it's probably my favorite book series. And he got it. So I think I was not only objective, I was critical of everything about it. And they got to the point where they got me excited.
Now, clearly this isn't a Saturday morning cartoon, so it's not Jack Reacher and Friends, but there is a supporting cast.
Yeah.
Who stands out from the people that are around Jack Reacher in this particular version?
Mostly I will say, you know, and there's a disappointing thing because, you know, as he talked about in the interview, the supporting cast is not going to be there season to season because each book is its own season and Jack Reacher kind of goes from town to town. That's just who Jack Reacher is. So we won't see them again, which is kind of sad, but Willa Fitzgerald is Roscoe and she's a local deputy that becomes entwined in Reacher's path. And that's about all I'll say about it, but she's great. She's intense. She's, you know, doing everything she can to make sure that she's taken very seriously and she deserves to be. And Reacher really respects her. And you can see that in the performance from both of them, which I think is great. Malcolm Goodwin is a guy I've liked for a long time. He was an iZombie, but Breakout Kings. I don't know if you ever watched Breakout Kings, but I loved Breakout Kings. and he plays Finley, and it's kind of funny because, you know, I first saw him in Breakout Kings where he's a criminal, and it really kind of just makes me chuckle because now he's this very kind of uppity cop, and it just shows that he's got a lot of layers to him. So those two are my standouts for sure.
And we're no, you know, we talk about stunts quite a bit on the show, and by there should be stunts in the Oscars and everything. So what about this particular show? Are the stunts awesome? Do they fall down a little bit? I mean, it's a lot of fighting, a lot of breaking stuff, I'm sure.
Oh man, the fight scenes are phenomenal. The fight scenes are phenomenal. And there's a fight scene, I think, in most episodes, and every single one of them is fantastic. And I do want to mention, there's another character, I shouldn't have said this, there's another character that comes into the show at some point that I love, but I also don't want to mention it because, you know, I don't want to spoil anything. But the fights are fantastic. They are just brutal, just absolutely brutal. Really reminds me of not as gory as Warrior is on HBO Max, which Warrior has some of the best fights I've ever seen. It's not as like that, but it's very much like a, you know, a guy this size who also thinks like a very smart, intelligent, a guy with foresight, a guy who's planning his moves. It's very much in terms of, you know, he's calculated in terms of every action he takes, but he's also brutal and he doesn't hold back. So every single fight, just you can feel it in your gut. I mean, so it's pretty phenomenal in terms of especially television, because there's a lot of fight scenes on TV, not a lot that make me groan or wince. And I winced like at least three times in the first couple, few episodes. So that's always a testament to a good fight scene if it makes you go, oh shit, that hurt. And that's how I felt.
Yeah, we feel it from between your legs all the way up your spine kind of thing.
Oh, yeah. Everywhere that guy gets hurt, that's where I'm hurt. Yep.
All right. As we mentioned, it is based off of The Killing Floor. So this is one book in a series of books. Does it work translating one book into one season? Or would you rather have like it spanned across a couple books to tell a more robust story?
Yeah, I was kind of curious about that when it happened. Because I knew the books, and I'm like, are you going to be able to get a whole season? But they're 8 episodes. So yeah, I think it's exactly the right length. Now, some books are different. There's one book in particular where Jack Reacher follows basically a serial killer and, you know, ends up trying to save some people. I mean, it's very, and I don't want to get into all the details in case they ever make that one, but you know, that one would be a little harder, I think, but still could be done. But I like this. And Killing Floor is the first Jack Reacher book I ever read because it's the first Jack Reacher book. And it held my attention for the whole season. They really got the opportunity to flesh out the characters of Roscoe and Finley, which didn't get to be fleshed out a whole lot before. So you kind of get less of the get right to it. You actually get a little bit of character growth, which is nice, but not too much, not to the point where, you know, it's going to, where you're looking at your watch. I never once checked my watch in 8 episodes, not once, which is a testament because in this day and age, you know how that goes.
Yeah, for sure. So no mid-season lulls, which is good.
Nope.
Yeah. It's hard, right? When you have a book, like we did the podcast for 11/22/63 from Stephen King, and the amount of stuff you have to change from a King book specifically because of how long it is. But you just don't get to flesh out the characters as much. So it's good to hear that there's actually a well-rounded universe in the show and well-rounded people to experience over the course of 8 episodes versus stretching it to 13 or even making it a full 22 or some crazy stuff like that.
Yeah. And in fact, they give the supporting characters a little bit. How do I say it without spoiling anything? In one episode, there is a very specific set piece that's in the book that kind of goes down a little, much different because it's more focused on Reacher, where now they have interjected other characters and kind of brought their journeys into the fold somewhat. And there's a plus and a minus. I mean, obviously you want to see Jack Reacher just do everything because he's awesome. And the same token, these characters are really awesome. So we want to see them get their opportunities as well. So it kind of works out.
So this one's a 2-part question. Do you want them to make another book? And if they made another book into another season, is there any character from this season that you'd want to show up in that book, even though you know that they're not in that story? Like they could just work them in somehow.
Yeah, that's a really good question because I don't know. Well, there's definitely one character, but again, can't say who that is. So, yes. Here's the thing. I really love Willa and Malcolm's performances. I thought they were great as those characters. I'd love to see them come back as long as it makes organic sense. I definitely want them to come back for another season and do another book. Yes, absolutely. I don't even know which one I would want them to do. You know, there's a lot that I love. So I'd rather just see what they come up with, you know, instead of guessing. I mean, we heard from Alan what he loved, which is cool. And I hope that would be a great one. But yeah, I mean, I would like to see them, if it's like even a phone call, you know, checking in on how things are going back, just so there's a connection to that season. I think that would be cool. But I love the idea of just Jack Reacher rolls in the town, meets new characters, and messes some shit up.
What if they did their own story and didn't follow a book?
I mean, Jack Reacher's the star. I mean, they do great, but, you know, unless they're going to walk in a room and just kick somebody's ass over some peach pie, I don't. I want Jack Reacher stories. That's what I want.
I mean, like, if they didn't follow the books, like if they came with their original Jack Reacher story that was still in the same vein.
Oh, and just use those characters or something?
Yeah, so they can bring the same cast back.
No. One of the appeals of Jack Reacher himself, even though I know it's disappointing because you get attached to characters, is that he shows up and meets brand new people and gets into all kinds of different problems. And so therefore, you know, there's not always somebody bailing him out. He has to get out of it himself. He has to figure his way out of whatever the predicament is himself. And he can't do anything outside of that because he has to make it work. You know, if you've got help all the time, it kind of makes it a little easier to get out of trouble.
You could say it gives you some leverage, potentially. Yeah,
you could. And, you know, I want him to get some redemption.
Well, if $10 is the full price of admission, what do you give season one of Jack Reacher on Amazon Prime?
I give it
$8.50.
I'm not exaggerating. I start to finish, I was in love. And you know this. I've been telling you this for weeks. I'm like, I can't talk about it, but I'm telling you, this show is freaking awesome. I can't wait till I can talk about it because it's my sweet spot as both a critic and a fan. So even if I hadn't read the books, I would still be a fan of the show because it's kind of what I... When I watch TV, sometimes I just want to just smile from start to finish. And I smile when guys make things right, when they beat the shit out of assholes. I think that's great. Not in the real world, because that's wrong. But on TV, yeah. And sometimes you wish you had a guy like this in the world, because wouldn't it be great if, you know, when there's small town corruption, there's one guy who could go in there and just make it all go away.
I would have smiled from ear to ear if you would have said you gave it a $9.99, so that way I could have bought Amazon Prime to watch it.
Jeez. Do you not have Amazon Prime?
No, I have Amazon Prime. I do.
Okay. I'll get you login if you don't. That's how the world works now. I will make sure that you can see Jack Reacher. Make sure you talk about it on social media and all that other jive.
There you go.
I want a season two, man. I want a season two. Oh, well, thanks for joining me for that, Troy. I really appreciate you helping me out with that conversation. And thank you guys for listening once again to the Hollywood Outsider podcast. We do try to bring you interviews with filmmakers in the world of cinema when we can. So I really hope you enjoyed this one. Remember to subscribe and review us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or your podcast app of choice. Our normal show has a new episode every single Wednesday and is available at thehollywoodoutsider.com as well. Please share this show with your friends. Please get it out there. Share it on social media. Tag Alan at Alan Richson. You know, make sure he knows that you're looking forward to his show. And it comes out February 4th one more time. So this is Aaron Peterson reminding you that the next time you head into the theater or sit comfortably on your couch, streaming Reacher, buy popcorn.